Numbers 27. We'll be starting to read to verse 15. It says, "And Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, Let the Lord, the God of our let the Lord, the God of the spirit of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before him, before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and such may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. And the Lord said unto Moses, Take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom in the spirit, and lay thy hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight, and they shall and thou shalt put put some of thy honor upon him, and all the congregation and the children of Israel may be obedient. And he shall send before Eleazar the priest, and shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of the Urim, before the Urim, fat his word shall they go out, and and all the children of Israel with him, even the congregation. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and he took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before the congregation. And he laid his hand upon him and gave him a charge as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for all you've done for us. I pray now that you'll guide and direct us. We'll give you praise and thanks. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about being a coach. What does it take to be a coach? What's a coach? Huh? All right. Somebody that leads something, right? Well, you know, a coach is somebody who leads a team, right? You know, we need to take and think of the church as being a team. And I want to talk to you tonight just a little bit about being a coach. You know, the coach first must be called. Did you know that? A coach must be called to do something. A major league team who is looking for a coach needs to find the right person. You know, they will look over many people who have eligibility to coach. He has to be sure of the right choices, and the man has to be called by the team owner and talked to. Then he has to be advised by the press. Then he has to be advised by his wife, and then he'll be asked and advised by his friends and relatives, and he may even talk to other coaches to find out if this would be a good team to go to. But in the scripture that we just read, we see that Joshua was called to be a coach. Joshua was called to be a coach. And you're saying, well, how in the world was that? Moses was old. There was not any people left that came out of Egypt except for Joshua and Caleb. Joshua had been told that he would go into the promised land. It was a relative easy way of picking someone who was going to take over. Moses asked the Lord who he should have to lead the people, and God told him that who was going to be the coach of this people. Yeah, listen, there was no press releases. There was no 30-day waiting period. There was no decision by Mrs. Joshua. There was no committee to find if he was qualified or not. This was just a done deal. I mean, all God said is, you go to Eleazar, you tell him this, and this is going to be the way it is. Period. That's it. Bang. You know, we put too much into finding someone many times to lead our teams. I really mean that. And, you know, if you look at a church will form a pulpit committee, usually, and then they send out feelers. They may even send out people to listen to other people preach in other places. They read resumes. They look over persons' credentials. They interview candidates. They call other churches to find out if they would approve of this person. They talk to other pastors. They call in the candidate for an interview. And they may even have him come and preach a few times in the church before they take a vote on him. You know, we need to ask God for directions to get a new coach when we need him. You know, not the best looking person or the best speaking person is maybe who God wants to be the coach of a church. You know, after all, look at me. You know, if it wasn't for my good looks and my intelligence, I probably would never be here, right? Amen? You know, and so what we need to realize is God does not use the best looking, and he does not make or use the most eloquent speaking people many times to be the coach of a church or the pastor of a church. He may use someone just plain and simple who wants to be used by God. But also the coach needs proper credentials. Now, Joshua had the right stuff for the job. You know, he had been with Moses from the very beginning. He had been with Moses ever since they left Egypt. He was picked to spy out the land. After all, him and Caleb, they were the only two that gave the good report, weren't they? Remember, 12 men went to spy in Canaan, 10 were bad and 2 were good. That was Joshua and Caleb. They were the only two that were good. They're the only two that came back with a good report. You know, he had stood up to the other spies and he said, no, he says, we can take this land. But he was there in the battles which were taken. He was there and when Moses struck the rock and billions of gallons of water came rushing out of the rock. He had seen the hand of God work every day as they got up in the morning and they went out and picked up manna and ate manna. And he saw the quails come down and they had meat. He knew firsthand the power of an almighty God. He had been with the in the trenches, so to speak, and seen what God could actually do. Joshua was the right man for the job. Joshua had been with Moses for 40 years in that wilderness. You know, it's no different today. Many teams pick coaches who have been players in the past. I think of the Chicago Bears when they picked Mike Ditka. The Dallas Cowboys when they picked Tom Landry. Ray Rhodes was a coach. Willie Davis. And many, many, many others who had become coaches over the years after they had played professional football. You know, teams look for people who have been in the game to coach. You know, teams look for people who have seen the good times and the bad. Teams look for leaders. You got to have a leader in order to take and have a coach for a team. You know, our churches, believe it or not, are no different. Your pastor has to have been in the trenches. You know, believe it or not, I was one of you one day. Did you know that? You know, I sat basically where you sit, but in a different church. You know, I sat in the pews just like you do. I listened to the sermons just like you do. I taught Sunday school just like many of you do. I taught junior church just like many of you do. I worked in youth ministries. I worked on bus routes. I knocked doors. I invited people to church just like you do. Listen, I was there. I was in the trenches when God called me to be the pastor. God wants us to be trained for his service. He wants us to read the Bible. He wants us to pray daily. He wants us to volunteer to do things. He wants us to learn what he has for us to do. You know, when we are taught We receive our credentials. Did you know that? You know, a first grader doesn't receive a BA in anything. Did you know that? Other than a bad attitude. An eighth grader doesn't receive a high school diploma. A person who gets into the service isn't a general the first day. Did you know that? You know, there's an awful lot of people that get into the service today and they think, well, you know what? I'm going to get in there and within a year I'm going to be a staff sergeant, you know, or I'm going to be a lieutenant. I'm going to be whatever. Don't work that way. Doesn't work that way. A football player doesn't receive the Heisman Trophy when he first puts the pads on for the first time. You know, we have to be taught and we have to go through the trenches of life in order to become a coach. First, we must be called. Second, we must be taught. Third, we must accept the call. We must accept the call. You know, Joshua was the only one for the job. He was the son of Nun. He had no father. You know, Joshua was the son of Nun. He didn't have a dad. You know what I mean? The son of Nun. All right. Anyway, but Joshua had been taught by Moses how to lead the people. You know, I found something very interesting in the reading that we did. And this is what I found. It says, he shall stand before, or let's see, let's go back to verse 20. It says, and thou shalt put some of thy honor upon him. Now, was he going to put all of his honor upon him? No. He was only going to put part of his honor upon Joshua. I thought, wow, that's really something. Why is it that he's not going to put all of his honor upon him? Why is it only he's going to put some of it on there? Moses is going to need a little bit of his honor yet to lead the children of Israel until he died. But he was going to put some of his honor on him. And I think that's why if you get into Joshua, you'll see God over and over and over and over telling Joshua to be courageous. To be courageous. Here we see that he was to lead the people of Israel from there on. Joshua may have been able to refuse the call if he wanted to. You know, after all, we have a free will, don't we? Now, you know, I don't know if I was if I would have been Joshua if I would have said, yeah, I'll do it. After all, Joshua had seen the rebellion of the people. He had seen how God had chastised the people for their disobedience. He had seen what God was going to do to Moses for his sin. After all, Moses couldn't go in the promised land because he disobeyed God. He could have said, forget it, God, get somebody else. I'm not going to be responsible for this rebellious people. I'm not going to take the rap for their sins. I've seen what you did to them, and I don't want the job. He could have done that, couldn't he? He could have said, no, I don't want it. I think I might have done that. After all, how many people were left that came out of Egypt? Now, there was over 2 million that came out of Egypt. And in 40 years, there was 2 left. Well, actually 3 with Moses. Now, how many is that that died every year, Jacob? Figure it out quick. 2 million divided by 40. Quit playing games and just figure something out for me real quick. 50,000. Huh? 50,000? That's 50,000 a year. Think about that. 50,000 a year that died. That's a lot. And that's without the ones that just, you know, children and stuff like that. Those are the ones that came out of Egypt. Wow, man, that's a lot. But you know what? He didn't. He took the ball and he ran with it. He accepted the responsibility that God had given him. God wanted Joshua to lead the people. He wanted Joshua to lead the people into the promised land. He wanted Joshua to divide the land for the people. He wanted Joshua to be the commander in chief of the armies. Joshua took the responsibility and did it. You know, a coach of a team is no different. You know, he's been taught through the years the game. He's played the game. He knows what is expected of him. He knows there will be good days and bad days. He knows he's going to win some games and he's going to lose some games. He knows he'll have people who quit in the middle. He knows there will be people who will not give 100%. He knows he will get discouraged from time to time. But he accepts the call anyway. He takes the challenge. He does what he can to further the team effort. You know, we at Florence Baptist Church are no different than Joshua. You know, we've all been called to do the service for the King. We will have people who disappoint us. Did you know that? Do you know that there's people in this church that's going to disappoint people? I can't believe that. After all, we're all Christians, aren't we? You know, maybe the preacher will say, well, you know, or do something that we don't like. Maybe kids or loved ones will come to church one or two times and then not come back. They'll disappoint us. They'll disappoint us. You know, we work so hard to get them to come to church, and then all of a sudden they come, and then they don't come again. We'll have to make sacrifices if we take the call. You know, I was thinking about this as I was doing this message, and I got to thinking of all the cookies that my wife baked over the years for Sunday school kids. The visits that we made for kids that had missed Sunday school or teen activities and things. The teens who rebelled against your authority and you had to spend some extra time with them explaining why God's Word says you need to take and have authority over you. Sometimes you had to take food to somebody who needed it. You'd have to spend time preparing lessons and crafts for Sunday school and junior church. You may have to go and pick up somebody for church. It'll take a little extra money for prizes. You may sew a dress for a girl for church. You may buy a Bible for somebody who doesn't have one. You know, as I was doing this part of the lesson, I got thinking of my daughter, my son-in-law. I wonder how much money they have spent over the 16 years they've been at Kingsway Baptist Church in their bus ministries, in the teen ministry, in the Sunday school teaching. Every ministry that they have put their own money into that ministry to make that ministry better. We must answer the call to service. You know, we can answer yes, as Joshua did. We can answer yes, as your preacher did. We can answer yes, as the Lord did. Or we can sit on our blessed assurance and do nothing for the Lord. You know, the choice is our own. Joshua said what? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, what about you? Are you willing to take and serve the Lord in whatever capacity that He has for you? Matthew 20:16 says this, "So the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. For many will be called, but few chosen." You know, many are called, but few are chosen. Why is this? Because the people would not answer the call of God. You know, we've all been called. We've all been taught. It's up to us to answer the call to service. You cannot be used by God until you first accept Him as your personal Savior. You know, Jesus is calling tonight. What are you going to do with His calling? He's calling you into service. What are you going to do for Him? Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for tonight. We thank You for Your love. Help us, Lord, to be coaches. Help us to take and do everything that You've called us to do. I know that You've called us all into service one way or another. And we just pray, Lord, that we might know the service that You've called us into, just like Joshua. I don't believe Joshua had any idea that he was going to be called to lead the children of Israel until Moses brought him up to Eleazar and said, "You're the man. You're the man that God wants to lead this country into the next part of their lives. You're the one that's going to lead the armies. You're the one who's going to lead the Israelites where they need to go. You're the one who's going to have to split up the land." And Joshua took the challenge. Father, we just thank you so much for the many that we have in this church, Lord, that you've called into service and they've said, "Yes, I'll do it." I just pray, Lord, that all of us are that way. Guide us and direct us. Help us to do everything that you've called us to do for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, I ran over.